Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to a fantastic episode of...
Really?
Yes.
Really high-pitched, but I'm Ben from I'm Ben.
It was, guys,
what are you talking about? Come on.
You know what? He's full of enthusiasm. He's full of vim and vigour because it's another
full
episode.
Full of helium as well.
he's been huffing those helium balloons because it's another fantastic episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cut, and we have a superb guest, Emma Siddy, who you will know from Starstruck on the BBC. You may know her from Let's Flats, but she's brilliant. And you may have even seen...
Her brilliant live work as
brilliant
well.
Brilliant live
always,
work. And
yeah,
she made
so
a
good.
Phenomenal Spanish language sort of a little short film, which is... It's basically like a kind of a Mexican soap opera teleplay, and it is absolutely superb. So look for that. Wherever you find things, just started to big it up. Could neither remember the name of it nor where you'd find it, but it's very good.
We hear you. It was great. But all right. Well,
before
what
we get into it, she was. Yeah.
I was wrapping up then.
I know.
What a brilliant guest she was. See you next week.
That's basically what we're going to start doing now for this podcast, is we're going to record it, have a wonderful time, and then tell you that we had a great time. Just to keep the episodes down. We're told these are running too long, these episodes. So to keep them down, this is 4 minutes long. It's us telling you how great she is, half remembering what her credits, and then leaving.
Cheers, everyone.
I was going to just say, I've got the most superb email from a listener I wanted to read. Beefy update from AJ via beefbrothers podcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, guys. AJ writes, "Dear Beef Brothers, about 6 months ago, your guest Katie Wicks read out my beef regarding a neighbour who woke everyone up with his motorbike at 4 a.m. We remember this well.
Yes.
Turns out that your advice has been a little bit life-changing. Oh. Katie suggested earplugs, which helped for a while, but ultimately it was affecting more people than just me. So like a big, brave girl, I decided to pop an anonymous note through Motorbike Man's letterbox. What I hadn't accounted for was his Ring video doorbell, which alerted him to my arrival. As I was posting the note, he opened the door and caught me. The next few minutes were excruciating. I made out that I'd gone to the wrong flat, but we both knew this was a lie. He asked to see the note, and the more I protested, the more he insisted. I really had no choice. So, hanging my head, I threw it at him and legged it. The main reason that my boyfriend wanted me to tell you this is that when he read it, he felt awful. That's right, Motorbike Man is now my boyfriend.
What?
No!
Yeah.
No way!
Yeah. He was mortified to learn that he was having such a negative effect on the community. Since then, he has adopted the Parry Senior approach of walking it to the end of the road before starting it. We're not sure whether this is the first Beef Brothers love story you've had, but we are planning to move in together and would genuinely have never met without the podcast. The jury is out on whether the bike goes or not. Brackets, it will. Thanks and all the best, AJ. AJ... Oh my God, when I read this, my heart grew 10 sizes. I was so delighted to hear it. I'm having a heart attack. Can somebody please call an ambulance? I'm dying.
Incredible.
But no, isn't that wonderful?
That's amazing.
So that is so great.
So it turns out that, you know, sending an email into Beef Brothers could be a whole new life for you. You could meet the man of your dreams, the motorcycle man of your dreams.
If this was a film now, you're going to jump cut to them coming out of the church and you have like, get the motor running.
Yeah.
And they get on the back of like one of those big Harley Davidsons three
wheel. And we're
things.
Driving it.
Yeah. And then they pull off and then we come in behind them.
Yes! I love it.
Oh, on these big kind of bikes.
You've got your
zoom off.
You've got your own cool rider. That's what everybody wants, right? You want a cool rider. Of course you do.
What a life. That's brilliant.
I'm really chuffed for you, AJ. Fantastic news. Right. Let's see if we can sprinkle our magic stardust over some new lovebirds in this episode of Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers, a Cold Cuts.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem.
thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. Yeah, no, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm a real Flatshare, I guess, fan. As in, you know, I'm a fan of you guys and I'm a fan of the concept of sharing flats with people. Because I've never had any other choice.
Well, have we got the podcast for you?
Hey!
What's your current setup? Who are you flat-sharing with currently?
I'm in the final days of a really beautiful flat-share. Yeah, it's pretty sad, actually.
This is the swan song.
This is the swan song. We're moving out in about a week. It's been 3 years. And it is, I mean, they are comedians. Shall I say their names? They
Why not?
Don't mind,
if they're, all right, if you're all right with it.
Yeah. So it's me, Emma Siddy.
Of course. We got that much.
Yeah.
We worked that bit out.
The weakest link, perhaps. And then Rose Matafeo and Al Roberts, who also doubles up as my boyfriend.
Lovely. Well, both of them do.
Both of them double up as my boyfriend.
It's good.
Which is
very modern. Very modern.
Incredible and really hot. But yeah, so this is the end. Like, it's been, I've lived with Rose for 4 years. This has been a flat share for 3. And now me and Al are going our separate ways to start a family. No, I'm joking.
wait, you and Al are going together. Your separate ways is one way, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, we have a one-way separate ways. It's not a breakup. And
I
Rose has
a
her
weird
own
way to tell us.
Yeah, that's a really weird way to express it. And hopefully,
it's been really lovely. Rose has asked us to move out, and it turns out Rose was the only thing holding us together as a couple.
Exactly.
So
Rose,
I feel like now is a good time.
I mean,
to
I was going
to
say that there is a certain amount of pressure now on either, I was going to say on Al, but I think also on yourself.
Yeah,
you've had 3 years of this
true.
Glorious relationship, yep. And but that's had the magic ingredient of Rose Matafeo.
Oh, don't shut up. I don't need that today.
She's relationship glue. That's what she's known as on the circuit. Relationship glue.
If you and Al are a TV series that's 3 years in, it's been starring Rose Matafeo.
Oh,
you know, you're about to go into series 4.
Obviously, we're going to get cancelled, and I know that. No, I mean, there's something to me quite symbolically and, well, symbolically iconic and weird in our house that both Rose and Al have cult crochets made of them. So do you know that? It's that amazing Instagrammer who makes cult crochet, like, puppets of people. And so you've got Rose from Starstruck, and then next to her is Al, as in Al from Statlet's Flats, and they live together there on the shelf. I don't have a cult crochet, and that's cool as well.
But you've been in both those shows, surely.
I don't have an iconic costume, so I'm not allowed one, which is totally fine. But the idea of separating these two dolls now, I'm like, oh, God, it isn't going to work.
So are you thinking? Are you thinking perhaps to let Al stay with Rose?
And yeah,
it's the right thing to do.
What I'm trying to impart is that it's all up for grabs right now. Swan song days.
It's a movable feast.
It is, yeah. So, but I've literally always lived in flat shares, and it is the first time living with just a boyfriend. So it's, you know, it's really exciting, as well as flat shares is such a massive part of life, you know. It's beautiful.
A three is very workable. That's the thing about a three. Mm. We found that there's, you know, no matter what's going on, there's always someone else to sort of take to one side and bitch to about the other one.
Exactly. There's some great ganging up that goes on in a healthy and character building way. So I once lived in a four, and that wasn't so successful, actually.
Tricky.
It was I've twice lived in a four. Bit more hectic, I think. Three is a bit more contained.
Totally. And how are you feeling about two? How are you feeling about laying the bare bones of the relationship out?
This has really become...
You know, I've never thought of it like that.
In a single living arrangement.
It's such a beautiful way of thinking about it.
You're welcome.
You know what? I'm up for it. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be fine. It might even be great. So we'll have to see.
I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be great. So, yeah. And also, this is our lockdown flat, obviously. So I think leaving that, we'll have a sense of escape in a good way.
Yeah.
Have you not gone out so far? Will it be the first time?
Have you not heard of the news?
It's very musty in there.
Yeah, oh my God. Well, I don't know if you guys feel like this about where you're living, but it still has this remnants of lockdown. Like any night I spend in and watch TV, I feel like I'm in lockdown again. And you have to remember, yeah. No, actually, yeah. I've made a conscious choice to watch Dawson's Creek.
Especially because I only ever watch... an update with Jonathan Van Tam in it as well, which is why it really gives me that real sense of deja vu.
All your old Chris Whitty videos you're watching.
I don't know why I keep watching the Chris Whitty stuff, but I just can't get enough of it.
It's the algorithm,
you know?
It's feeding you it. It knows you want it.
I know I've seen this before, but like, you've got to go dip back in, you know. It rewards repeat viewing, that stuff.
That bit where Robert Peston said shit, we all remember that. It was one of the best daily briefings of all time.
It ages well.
Yeah. Yeah, age it like a fine wine. Well, Parry and I both moved during lockdown.
So we've both... During lockdown,
so
wow.
I've shared my old lockdown cocoon. I've shared my flat in Penge. That's gone.
This is all great to hear, by the way, guys. As someone who remains in their lockdown
Parry and I
flat.
Doing very well. Emma's on the road to recovery. Clarkie, on the other hand...
Stuck.
What can we say?
Duck where you always
oh,
been.
Oh, boy.
Still in his cocoon, yet to emerge a beautiful post-lockdown butterfly.
Oh, man. It's not good.
It's not good. Well, I'll tell you what. I tell you what, Clarky. Will it cheer you up if we solve some beefs?
If we could put the focus
problems.
Anywhere else, that would be great right now, to be honest.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Car share based beef from Emily. Right. Actually, I don't think I needed to... I didn't need to say that. Anyway.
No, that's
no,
perfect.
You can. That's great.
We oh, like right. a title.
Okay, nice. You can maybe put a sting in there. See how it goes in the edit. hello, okay, Beef Brothers okay. and guests.
Can I just stop you? What kind of sting are you imagining here?
What's give us a flavour. What kind of thing do you want? Because we'll do it for you.
A listener has written in...
Oh, that was lovely, actually.
We've never had a sting before, but I think if we isolate that, we'll just pop that in. We'll pop that in throughout the episode.
Somehow, couldn't have been worse, that. But anyway, you guys, you know, that's the blueprint. See what you come up with.
No, no, that's the final product.
That's exactly
one thing you know from listening to our podcast. There's, you know, say it, it's out there.
Yeah, no time for an edit. Just get it in.
Get it out.
Great. So here is the beef. Hello, Beef Brothers and guest. That's me. My beef concerns occasional car sharing. Myself and my flatmate/partner, so I'm not sure which, each have our own car, but occasionally he uses mine. The beef? I like to leave chewed chewing gum on my steering wheel.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, that was my reaction. Okay, the audience member? Yeah, Emily, she now says, I know it's gross. Yeah. But it's my car and I should be free to treat it as I wish. I love chewing gum in the car. If I'm stopping to run an errand, I'll pop the chewing gum on the steering wheel, then come back to it. Seems fair enough, right? My partner thinks it's disgusting and doesn't want me to do it anymore. I'm fully prepared to lose this one as the brothers rarely stand in solidarity to their loyal Patreons.
That's true.
I love
that's
that.
True. That's true. We're very Real happy to dick. Take our listeners down.
It is an issue of ours.
We've got to start being nicer. Actually, today was the day I thought, I've got
we
to start being nicer.
About it, actually. We did yeah, have a little chat
about really?
It.
Really? Yeah. I love that Emily's so loyal that she knows the vibe. She knows what
vibe.
You guys do.
She knows the vibe.
There's a real Stockholm syndrome going on with Emily. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, she says, I'm fully prepared to lose. Nonetheless, I beg you to rule in my favour and agree that the inside of my car is my business alone. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Emily.
Right. Whew. So,
wow.
This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think the key sentence for me is the bit where she says, if I'm off to run an errand, I'll pop the chewing gum on the steering wheel, which means that she thinks that it is more... gross to be chewing gum in front of whoever she's running this errand in front
right.
of than it is to be leaving gum on the steering wheel for her partner. It's sort of
we should
one...
say she's a singing telegram. she's a singing telegram. You can't turn up, you know, chewing down, can you?
Yeah,
you know?
There's nothing worse halfway through the song of getting chewing gum spat into your eye.
No, she's not Dave Grohl. You can't be chewing gum and singing at the same time. It's not right. Surely then I think whatever the errand is, however far into the piece of chewing gum you're in, start a freshie after the errand.
Oh my
surely
God.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. A little treat, yeah.
Emily, as a wonderful Patreon member, you deserve better.
I like this actually, Crosby.
You deserve better in your life. You deserve fresh chewing gum with every new journey.
Don't even start telling our patrons they deserve better, though, so they'll find other podcasts to listen to. I'm a bit unsure about this new message. If we start saying patrons, you deserve better, we're in trubs, guys, because there are better podcasts out there and we all know it. So here's my question to you, Emma. Do you have your own car?
No, I don't. I can drive, which, you know, obviously very proud of that because it's fascinating how many people can't drive. So obviously I'm really arrogant about that.
Well, it's on your CV.
CV. Look me up online. It's obvious. But, you know, I can drive. I'm terrible at parallel parking, but I don't have a car. So it is, you know, I don't really... I can't relate completely to Emily on that thing of your own car. But, I mean, can I say something? Because I'm a neutral party. You know, Emily's not a Patreon for me, I don't think. Well, no, she isn't.
You could absolutely lay her out there.
I think this is shocking. Emily, I think this is all wrong. And I'm sorry to be so harsh. But I read this and gasped, like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, you blasphemed.
Yeah, I blasphemed.
You blasphemed.
The Son of God.
You took the Lord's name in vain.
But this is ridiculous. I just think she's got to stop doing this, girl. Like, your partner, man, I'm on his side. I think it's all wrong. And I also think we should be looking at cars. If you are lucky enough to have your own car, that we need to be looking at the climate, right? And car sharing, having as many people in your car as possible so we can reduce the fumes.
That's an interesting take on it.
You got to keep these spaces quite nice and clean so you can perform that task for the greater good. Sorry, this is now sounding insane and very relaxed.
This took a real post-Glasgow bent to it that I wasn't expecting. I was like, okay.
No, I've seen COP26. I seriously think that she shouldn't be overly... You know, and Emily, I do say this with love, and I think it's sick you've got your own car. That's obviously wicked. But keep it clean, girl, because we got to save this planet and just new gum each time or stop chewing gum at all. I just don't know. I can't get on board with it, I'm afraid.
So I'm just going to give a bit of a defence in Emily's direction here because, look, in this day and age... It's not, you know, you think to the old phrase, the Englishman's home is his castle, right? Like, there isn't many spaces anymore that one can completely call their own, right? Now, Emily lives with her partner.
This is Tom's way of saying he's sleeping in his car.
Anyone who's been in my car will understand I have an affinity with Emily. Now, not when it comes to chewing gum, but... Like, obviously, I assume Emily shares a bedroom with her partner. She shares a flat with her partner. I imagine she'll have her own drawer, maybe, or I imagine they share a wardrobe. Like, people just don't have their own rooms anymore. Yeah. We just don't have the space. And yet, there you have, in those, you know, four metal walls, your own little space in the world. There aren't many spaces you can completely call your own. And so maybe that is her part of the world where she can afford herself the luxury to be gross.
The thing is, she is sharing that space with someone else, and that's why they're calling it out.
It's a good point.
Try safely, guys. I have actually thought of a solution, you know.
Here we go.
Why don't we just straight up say, girl, if you want to be doing this, you know, whatever. And actually, I found Tom what
you said. Is that your solution?
It's quite vague, actually.
People will say I'm an incredible problem solver. No, Tom, what you said is actually a really good point. Why doesn't she just make it, if she is also sharing the space, why on the steering wheel? That's so visual, you know. This from the mouth element is living on the steering wheel, and obviously witnesses are going to be shocked. So if we just go under the steering wheel, under, or maybe under something really messed up, like under one of those folds around the gear stick, like, is that where she
pulls
it?
I mean, stick it into the folds of the gear stick.
The folds of the gear stick. You've made it both simultaneously grosser, but also better at the same time.
Oh, thank you.
That might appeal to Emily. Yeah. That might appeal to Emily.
And it might even help prevent so much dust getting right on it. Like, if you keep those folds clean... Yeah. Then
keep those folds
please
clean.
Please keep the folds clean, guys. It's something we often say to our listeners. Keep the folds clean, for the love of God.
But then you slip in your bit of chewed gum within those folds, and maybe this is sort of just total best case scenario. I don't know.
I mean, those folds have always been there for. Those folds, what are they there for? Is it an aesthetic thing? Maybe you've cracked it there, Sydney. Maybe that's the reason the folds are there anyway.
You've worked out the ergonomics of the folds. We never expected that.
How did you crash again? For some reason, I couldn't get into first. I don't know what was. Just suddenly, my gear stick was so sluggish.
Oh, God. That's a point, actually.
I think hiding it, secreting it around... I think that you're right, the visibility...
Secrete it in the folds!
Secreting it in different parts of the car. You know, there'll be bits of the car which won't be... Because also as well...
Hey, but, I tell you what, I've got it.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, by also as well, I meant end of sentence. Sorry, Carl. <Off you go. laughs>
Yes, go on then.
Go on, Clarky.
I've always been jealous of, in films, in America, it's a real thing to put your keys under the visor, get in the car, pop the visor down, keys drop into your lap and you catch them midair. Well, here you go. Pop your chewing gum under the visor.
Yeah, but if you pop it down, it's not going to slide off because it's going to stick, isn't it? So you'd have to then lean upwards.
It'll just be stuck.
You'd have to lean upwards and bite it off the visor.
Oh, do you mean the sun shield bit?
Yeah.
No. Also, what if the sun shield got stuck to the other side?
It'd stick to the roof, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then her partner's going to be like, "Oh, I know what you fucking done." And then she goes, "Oh my god," you know. And it sort of it starts that way.
Okay. I revise my status. I don't got it.
Yeah. I think hidden around the car, places where your hands don't go. That's what I was going to say. The steering wheel, you know. Especially in these COVID-y times, I know, I'm assuming you and your partner are bubbling together, but at the same time, do you have to get your flob all over his hands?
Yeah.
Probably not, right?
My I don't really want to say this, it's probably going to sound really unpleasant, but like...
Oh,
here we go.
When I get a new car, which happens maybe every 10 or 12 years or something,
okay.
I'll think...
So you're saying this happened to you twice in your life?
I'll be like, this time, things are going to be different. I'm going to keep this nice. This is going to be great. And then I think it's about 3.5 weeks until I have the moment where I pick my nose, because I pick my nose when I drive, because again, it's my space and I feel safe in that space. And then the bogey comes out and it's like, what are you going to do now?
Where's it going to go?
Where do you put it? Up your ass.
I think surely I'm not
going
to stick
his folds.
This
yes,
right
he does.
Up my ass again. Please don't bogey your ass in this car. You did it in the last one and it ruined that Peugeot.
It's the circle of life.
It goes under the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I dread to think the state of under the driver's seat.
Awful.
I'm sorry, Emma,
awful.
But I think 95% of the cars in Britain have bogeys on the driver's side.
You just advocated for chewing gum in the folds.
No, I didn't advocate. I said, oh my god, this situation is horrendous. What's the best we can do? You know,
we're trying to help Emily here. Yeah. I think that's also. I think 90% is that's too many, Clarkie and Parry. I think it's not 90%. It's two cars.
What I'm saying is me and Tom.
You shouldn't be putting it in your car. If you're taking it out of your nose, keep it on yourself. Put it on your neck or something.
What?
Wait, no, right, okay.
I'm back in the folds.
That's folds.
Always the folds with you, Sydney.
You're obsessed with folds, mate.
If you ever pick Emma Sydney up and shake her, honestly, the things that fall out, you wouldn't believe...
That's why they call it the lucky dip.
It sticks, absolutely.
Old Pinata City's here.
Oh my God. I can't believe you're turning this back on me because this behaviour is.
No, yeah, I think you're right. I think flick it out the window. I think if you're going to do anything, flick it out the window.
Yeah.
Ah, but honestly, that's wind the window down.
That's what you do. That's what you do when you're in someone else's car or in a hire car. When it's your own, I'm telling you, when you get your own
things
car,
I do in a hire car,
that saves space. Oh, honestly. It's kind of like marking your territory, I think. It's like a nature documentary. Anyway, let's we need to nip this in the bud.
I think if you have to do it somewhere else other than the steering wheel. I also think treat yourself to a freshie each time and dispose of the
folds. That's the winner. Stick it in the folds.
I mean, stick it in the folds is pretty much the strongest argument we've had, isn't it? Beef solved.
I mean, we were about to wrap it up and then Clarke interrupted with his visor detour and let's be honest, it's cost us 10 minutes.
From a sorting out your beef solved.
Dad food beef.
Oh, wait, hang on a sec. Could we just have that sting again, please?
Oh, God, what was it? A listener has written in. Oh, no.
That was a different one, but I love it.
The beautiful thing about that jingle is it sounds different every time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just comes at you in a new angle every way.
Yeah, you discover something new.
It's like Mona Lisa's smile. Dad food beef from Samuel via Beef Brothers Podcast at gmail.com. Get in touch. Samuel did, and now he's famous in our podcast. Dear Beef Brothers, my beef is with my dad, who doesn't live with me, but it's based on something he does every time he stays with me. That counts. For context, I live over 600 miles away from my dad, so the only time I see him is when one of us goes to stay with the other, and that will be for several days at a time, usually a week. I'm always pleased that he makes the trip because I've chosen to live so far away, and I do appreciate that he's made the effort. However, here is the beef. He always buys food that he leaves behind unfinished. Mm-hmm. I do try to fully stock the house for his requirements before he gets here, but he enjoys going shopping and cooking, so we'll often make a few trips while he's here. Some specific examples. He always wants ketchup, which I don't tend to have, so once he bought some. Oh, sorry. I don't tend to have, so once he bought some. Fine. But rather than buying a small bottle, as it won't get used when he's not here, he bought a massive family-sized one.
Well, you are a family, Samuel.
This means that I see it every day, and I feel like I need to use it up. I can't abide wasted food. I did, you know, ketchup doesn't go off for like 6 years.
Total misunderstanding of condiments here.
I did tell him that it's now out of date, but he says he doesn't mind.
Yeah, I'm with him on that.
Number two, he normally makes an excellent curry with a side of pakoras. Ooh. These are great, but that means he'll buy a bag of gram flour. We now have 3 open bags of gram flour. Last time he bought a tub of ice cream. This isn't a beef, mate. Come on. Last time he bought a tub of ice cream and the other day, me and my wife decided to finish it. However, when we opened it, there was maybe 1 tablespoon's worth left in there. Who does that? We wouldn't normally have had any this time of year, but now we were disappointed. Once, he left a box of unfinished granola that I kept seeing and eventually finished one evening.
He started a relationship with it. Well, that box of granola, we started seeing each other now. It's got
started
kind of
following him around the house.
He found out the granola had been dead for 10 years. Once he left a box of unfinished granola that I kept seeing and eventually finished one evening because I don't like wasted food. Yeah, you keep telling us. The next day, I can't believe that's your thing, Samuel. Hey, it's Samuel, everyone, the guy who doesn't like wasted food. Sorry, I don't want to jump on his back.
Yeah, come on, try to be nice.
Need your own advice,
Harry. Sorry, but 3 times now. Anyway, he doesn't like wasted food. The next day, I was very ill, so I checked the date on the box, and it was a year out of date. Possibly a coincidence, but I don't think so. I look forward to hearing your judgment, and I will obviously abide by whatever you decide. Kind regards, Samuel.
Right.
Brackets. I can't abide wasted food.
No, he didn't put that to me. You got to put that.
You know what, though? Some people can avoid wasted food.
Oh, yeah. Some people are very, very happy chucking away wasted food.
I secrete mine under my driver's seat in my car.
I
secrete mine in my body, which is hence the folds. I've got plenty of folds now. I have a lockdown, that's a lot of folds. Slip you can hide in. A lot of chewing gum in me.
They're basically okay. Just hamsters, the lot of us.
Yeah.
Let's talk briefly visiting parents. Any advice, Emma, from
Well, look, obviously, listening to this, I just think this dad sounds absolutely wicked. What a dude. Yeah. How lovely. Coming round saying, I'm going to make you food. Interesting dishes, including the ketchup, you know. I just like the sound of this guy. I think he's amazing.
Ketchup pecoras.
But I do know what the listener is saying. I do get it. Like, that's slightly annoying. But I just think, and this is really dark, we don't have our parents forever. And one day, wow, in the hopefully very long future, maybe in 100 years' time, his dad won't be around anymore.
In 100 years' time, that granola will definitely be off. Yeah, don't touch the granola.
But
there.
The ketchup will still be totally fine.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is, in 100 years' time, or you know, a very long time in the future, when your dad's not around anymore, you will miss that crap food filling up your house. And maybe that's a little bit too morbid, but I just think this is really annoying. But this is really annoying. But deal with it for now, and maybe just throw some stuff in the bin. I know that must hurt, but like the gram flour, which I've never even heard of as a concept, gram flour. I think just get rid. Like, it'll be okay. What do you think?
I was going to say, isn't your dad giving you the opportunity to ready, steady, cook? He's giving you ingredients that you wouldn't ordinarily cook with, right? You know, I get a vegetable box of delivered, and you never know what's going to be in. It's always different every time. And so sort of
someone's doing pretty well for themselves.
Doing pretty well for myself.
The old radio money, is it?
Absolutely, yes. Spending it all on celeriac, and but it means that I'm often cooking things I wouldn't ordinarily cook, and it expands your repertoire as a chef. You know, admittedly. Ketchup and gram flour doesn't sound like, but it might make a nice paste. You know, it might make a nice
for you to go on your granola. It'd be
exactly
delicious.
Yeah. I just think don't look at it as stuff that you're not going to use. Think about how you could use it. You might not like ketchup, but I put ketchup into like a spaghetti bolognese and stuff like that. A little couple of squirts.
Someone's doing pretty well for themselves.
Little bit of ketchup with a little bit of red wine. I feel like it really brings the sauce off the page. You know, you don't have to necessarily be having hot dogs every night of the week. You could be using it for other things. I think just open your mind a little bit culinarily.
Well, this ties in with what I was going to suggest, actually, because I quite like that vibe. I was going to say, what you should have is building a tradition for yourself, like Shrove Tuesday, where the day after your dad leaves, or on the final night of his stay, you have a little leaving party where, as a tradition, you get rid of all the food in the house and you have this kind of
3/4 kilogram of flour.
Gram flour.
You've barely finished your flour.
It's a dusty meal, this one.
No, but you can have like, you know,
I glued myself shut.
My phones are glued.
It's like a traditional kind of getting rid of, you know, and you're kind of getting rid of a lot of the food that you need, that either the night after he's gone as a little celebration of the stay you've had, or when he's there and he can help. And it's kind of like he will know then that like the food he buys is going to have to go by the final night. And it's kind of like it becomes a little tradition.
I feel like this would be a horrible, horrible meal, but the vibe would be lovely. And that is important.
The food is bad, but the vibe is good. Have you been to a dinner party at my house? You're more than welcome.
He normally holds them in his car, to be fair. I've got a solution.
Oh, yeah?
When your dad is on his way, say, do a little stock check and go, by the way, we've got ketchup, we've got some flour, so don't worry about buying any of that when you go to the shops.
That's brilliant. Not an itinerary. What do you call it? Inventory. Yeah. You get the inventory ready and you just text it to him.
Because that's what you do before you go to the shops anyway, isn't it? You like go, oh, we've got tomatoes, so we don't need to get those. So they go off the list. So on and so forth.
But what about
I mostly cook with tomatoes.
What about the vibe party, though?
Yeah, I mean, I do love the vibe party. Don't get me wrong.
The flowery vibe party. You've got to go for that. I can't believe you're suggesting the perfunctory text him first. And you're the ready, steady, cook, flowery vibe party. This it has to happen.
Yeah.
I think What's the name of our friend? Is it Samuel? Of course, he's famous. Yeah. Samuel. Samuel, I think you've got to do it, man. Don't you think it'll be fun? And also, as well, to say to your dad, good news, Dad. You're staying for a week, and on the last day, we're gonna throw you a leaving bash. Who wouldn't love that?
I can see it going, like, getting quite dark if it ends up just being Samuel's dad being force-fed granola. Do you know what I mean? At, like, late night, and he's like, I've just had enough.
Here's when it's going to get, like, dark, is when Emma starts bringing up how we're all going to die. Everyone's at the flowery vibe party, and Sydney's at the end of the table going, God, he's not got long left, has he, your dad? Listen. Give him 5 years.
Emma's about to move out of her flat. Allow her melancholy. Allow
We're
her
living
to be melancholy.
In a global pandemic, guys, in case you hadn't noticed. You know, you've got to see it for what it is.
He doesn't look as grey as you think. It's mostly just flour.
It's grand flour, actually. Yeah, don't sign him off just yet.
Okay. But that's why it's up to Sam to keep the vibe strong, okay? Make sure the party doesn't get bleak. Keep the vibe strong. Have a party. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef! Beef solved!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay.
All right.
We've all had a nice time.
So this beef is...
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Sorry, we're not doing the jingle now.
Oh, my apologies. Emma, please.
Yeah. A listener has written in. Oh, it's getting worse every time.
Really? You really lost confidence in that one during the actual delivery of it.
I'm one of these people, I can't sing, but on top of that, I can't believe that I can't sing. Do you know what I mean? Is that a trait? Yeah. Like, I can't believe it. And every time I sing, I'm like, that's mad that I can't do it. Anyway.
I think Parry's got a very similar thing, but he's managed to override the knowledge that he can't do it.
Sure. It's now delusion in its happiest form.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
wicked. It's delightful. Parry, do you want to do your remix of the jingle?
A listener has written in.
That is so brilliant to have that level of confidence. It was beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
It's served us all well. Lurking House Guest Beef from Anon. Anon's got back in touch. Dear, via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Dear Pappies, please help me prevent becoming a withered, bitter landlady. I have two lodgers, brackets, I live in the north, I'm not flash. Nobody thought having lodgers was flash, but fair enough. But try to create an environment where my home is their home and we are as equals. However, one of my lodgers has a new boyfriend who works nights. He often sleeps in her room in the day when she is at work. He doesn't come out of her room, so it doesn't impede on me or my other lodger. But often, when I'm working from home, I realise he's upstairs and panic that my external processing has been heard. He's very nice, but it does seem a bit odd, doesn't it? He has his own flat, but they share her car. Well, we've talked about car shares.
Okay.
Chewing
she's out singing telegrams. He's the night singer. He's the serenader.
I had to write to you, as when she went away last weekend, he still came over and slept here, also leaving some of his stuff temporarily as he is moving flat. They're very nice people, but perhaps a bit clueless about housemate etiquette. This is a sad bit. She lost her dad tragically last year. This will appeal to Emma. She lost her dad tragically last year. And so coming in heavy-handed about this seems very cold-hearted. Thank you for that. Help me, pappies. Where's the line here? Am I being petty? What even is housemate etiquette? Thanks, anon.
Oh, okay. That's a tricky one, isn't it?
It really is. Because effectively, what she's sort of done is sublet the room. The lodger's kind of sublet. I know probably she's not asking for money for it, but when you take on a lodger, you take them on, not them and anyone else they fancy bringing home, right? I don't want to sound like I'm from the, you know, the 1940s
50s.
Or something.
You sound a little bit like
I do
that.
Sound like that, don't I? Like I'm running a B&B, you know.
She's got some callers.
Yeah.
It is like that. I'm sorry, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, there's a possibility that there isn't actually a problem here. It just feels like there's a problem. But I really empathise with that. As in, if he's sleeping all day and they seem really nice and, you know, it's kind of okay, then maybe it is kind of okay. And you can, is it just a problem because it feels annoying in some way? Like, I don't know, I'm not being very clear, but do you know what I mean? That if he's not troublesome and he's just sleeping, maybe you kind of just let this go on for a few more months until you hit an even bigger wall and then you speak to her about it.
Yeah, let it fester.
Let it down the road. Kick that
like
can down
the road. Like a forgotten piece of chewing gum. Let it...
Shove it into the folds till it becomes pop unmanageable.
Till you can't get into first gear.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely an argument for... Like, especially as a landlord, you're not like, because you're not just a fellow housemate here, you are kind of a little bit in the driving seat, and you're able to say, don't put your hands under there. No, but you are able to say, like, look, I don't want to be a dick about it, but there's for a lot of the week, there's two of you in that room, and we are going to have to talk about that in terms of whether you become a tenant or we look at the rent scenario and I don't know, because that is you're bang up to rights to do that.
I
think there would be something that it would be interesting to know that would change it for me. If she's a landlady who's older and it's her like lovely established house and she's renting out the rooms to lodgers, then I think it's more on her terms and she should be like, oi, you know, your boyfriend's always sleeping in my house. But if she's a landlady... So
she's allowed a bit more sass.
Yeah, exactly. There is a certain version of this that requires and demands and allows for huge amounts of sass. There's a flip side that if she's one of those landlady... I mean, she says she's not flash, but flash people say that, don't they? So, you know, she could be somebody who is actually same age. She owns the house because, you know, she's a lucky so-and-so. And this is her mate. And then it's different, but it doesn't really sound like that, does it? It sounds more like the former.
I think if it's your mate, you could sit down and have a chat about it. But the problem is she's got an informal formal agreement in that like it feels like she's probably lovely. That's her, like that is her. I mean, again, being nice to the listeners. Her problem is that she's not got that kind of hard edge landlady. Here are the rules. You stick by them. No guests over, especially no guests over when you are not here. You know. Like that would be fair enough to say. I don't think anyone would argue with that. You know, it would be mad if you have a lodger and they're allowed to bring people over when they're not there. That just
feels, I think,
because it's so informal, the arrangement they've got, it's quite hard to broach it. And also, it sounds like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like she knows it isn't bothering her, but she can see on the horizon the potential for it to become bothersome.
The festering has begun.
So maybe it's better just to... I mean, I think what Anon needs to do is think very carefully about how much it bothers her. Possibly have a chat with the other lodger as well, because you can always, you know, this is the joy of the three. You know, you can always say, look, I've had a chat with the other lodger. We think it might be a little bit off for this effective stranger to be in the house with us. We obviously know you. We trust you. We don't really know him that well. It just makes us uncomfortable. I think that's totally reasonable.
Yeah, totally.
Here's another suggestion.
I love it.
Engineer a breakup.
I don't love it. I said I love it there.
All it takes is
a
like
a bag of flour.
I tell you what, your boyfriend said something fruity to me this afternoon.
Oh, don't do, no, what, no.
No.
He walks when he walks to the shower, he doesn't half show it off or something. I don't know, like, no, I put myself in the role of like the older landlady. Or like, or, you know, you plant something about his person and go,
what, drugs?
What are these? Yeah, like, I don't know, you engineer suspicion.
You either gaslight her or plant drugs on him. This is a crazy suggestion.
It could be different. It could be a flower.
Look, don't rule out that this is all being done in a really sassy way.
It's being done
with sass.
No. Sassy crimes are still crimes, man.
Yeah. I mean, I did. A friend of mine, she recently got rid of her housemate by saying that she was selling the house and moving to Seville. But she always knew she wasn't doing that at all. That's pretty mad, isn't it? So then the housemate moved out, and then she's like, oh, darling, she's very rich, this person. She's like, darling, I've completely changed my mind, you know. I couldn't deal with it in Seville, the heat, or something like that.
Jean Gabor.
Honestly, if you met this person, she's got a bit of that. But, you know, so there are, you can do stuff like that, but I do think the karma is going to get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, as well, your friend. What did the former flatmate say? Did they not go, oh, does that mean I can move back? Because surely if they go, oh, I changed my mind, the plans all changed.
What was that? No, I think she'd signed a new lease or something.
Yeah, right. She waited till the right amount of time. Yeah,
exactly. The perfect time when she was locked into a contract and could not return.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think you're right. You've got to be very, very careful about getting caught in a white lie, especially if you're accusing him of flirting with you. You know,
less of a white lie, that one, I'd say.
Yeah, you're right.
Not that's a victimless crime, that. Yeah.
No, that is a, yeah.
I mean, you could just start flirting with him. You could take on, you take on the role of like this slightly saucy landlord who's like, she's at work, come and keep me company. And he'll be like, do you know what, actually, I'm going to spend a bit more time in my own flat.
Creep him out.
That is pretty good.
Or get into like death metal or something and play it during the daytime.
Yeah, but what if, you know, what if it turns out he's a big death metal fan? I mean,
what
if it turns out he's into...
she has to listen to death metal all day then as well. She's working from home.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's I don't know, man.
I think start getting sexual with him and see if you can drive him around. That doesn't feel out of order, does it?
It does.
Well, it'll go one of two ways. Either he'll do the decent thing and stop hanging around so much, or he'll be into it, and that way, you know, he shouldn't be with your tenant.
But no, the decent thing would be, it was not him just going, oh, I'll make myself scarce. He'll say to the lodger, oh, I'm sorry, your landlady made me feel very uncomfortable, and that makes an uncomfortable situation for her, because then the lodger has to go and speak to the landlady and say, I'm sorry, did you try and come on to my boyfriend? I don't think that is a great scenario.
I feel like Tom is approaching this like it's a game of The Sims, and he's just clicking on these people, trying to make them woohoo, like desperately trying to get them in the bed, and then like
if
move
that's
objects
the case,
on
just
and
seal up the door.
Yeah. Set it on fire.
It's the classic
take the stairs
Sims
out
way.
Of the swimming pool. Oh,
yeah, I just think this role of like the slightly sassy older landlady.
We don't know.
Kind of pulling the strings, you know. Pulling the strings. She's got years in the game. She's got notches on her belt, and it's kind of like she isn't afraid to use
where
it.
Where's she putting notches?
This is the stuff.
She's put on a bit of timber, right?
Adding a lot of colour as well here.
We all put on weight in lockdown, and let's not shame each other. Why? I mean, it's mad that you've turned this into some sort of like, you know, letter written into a porno.
It's like, no, it's not. At best, it's kind of like a.
What,
kind of like
and
a 1950s kind of or even like an Ealing comedy.
Okay, right. It's more like those sort of like 1970s. It's not like an Alec Guinness. It's not like Kind Hearts and Coronets or something like that. It's like Confessions of a Window Cleaner. That's what it is, isn't it? It's Confessions of a Landlady is what you're imagining.
Well, now you're speaking my language.
Of course, you love it.
I'm on board.
I think the key thing, though, and what makes Tom's idea not so good, no offence, Tom,
Sorry, I really thought that sentence was going to go the other way then.
Tremendous self-belief from Tom.
I think it's the detail that she likes the lodger and that they're really nice and, you know, all of that. So it's not a great idea to sort of, you know, attempt to ruin their lives or whatever. Yeah. As well as the next lodger you might get might be even worse. So I think good to just cultivate the relationship, keep it good, and maybe have a little talk on the side of, hey, your boyfriend's around all day long, maybe minimise that.
I think Matthew's kind of point of,
I'm going to get him.
It's okay to have him there when you are, but not when you're not, it's a pretty simple fair rule to have.
Or he's fair game.
Or make it official.
Better keep your puppy on a leash, as I'm going to be taking him for a walk.
I reckon make it official. Up the rent by 20 quid and say both of you can stay, and then they split it down the middle. So neither of them are spending as much money.
Nice.
You're getting a little bit more money. I think that's the way to do it.
Maybe we could come to another.
No, right, we're not having this. Jesus.
I think what we're really learning is Tom is as confident about his talking as he is his singing.
And like I said,
Ben, his sexual prowess. Right, I'm going to consider that beef solved. Take from an on take, whichever one you want.
Beef solved.
Don't take Tom's one.
Or else.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Emma, do you have a flatshare-based beef that you would like us to solve for you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, it's not a biggie, but it's basically fascinating to me. So basically, one of my housemates, they can't get their head around what is recyclable or not. Like, you know. So every time you go, we have a sort of recycling bin and then you put it into separate recycling bags. Half of it, left by this particular housemate, who actually, I think it's fair, I'm not going to name them. It's Al or Rose. And it's Al. But this mystery housemate, they just can't get a handle on what is recyclable or not. And so it means when you're, you know, decanting the recycling, it's infuriating. And obviously it's not that difficult to just put the stuff. So I'm talking like plastic seals, you know, like the film on top of ready meals. Black plastic is not recyclable. That's always in there. And also just random stuff that's obviously not recyclable, you know? So anyway, it's not that annoying, but there's something about the fact he can't get a handle on it that is that's my beef. And I have brought it up. I go, oh, this film isn't recyclable, but it never sticks, and it has been years now.
Interesting.
Very interesting indeed.
Well, one of those things that when you're living in a three, you know, it doesn't feel like such a big thing, but once it gets down to just the two of you. Yeah.
I honestly think Rose said that to me the other day.
Clock is ticking, my friend.
You sure you're moving in with the right one?
Sounds like Rose does her fair share of recycling. That's all I'm saying.
But I would like to say something in Al's defence. He's actually amazing at sorting out the recycling himself, sorting out the bins. He's a great bin dude. But
God,
sometimes
that's so weird.
Oh, yeah?
So he's great at the bin side of it.
Yeah. He's great at taking them out.
It's going into the bin is the bit that he doesn't.
It's the choosing what goes where that is the issue. And I think
sometimes he might be colourblind.
What? Why would
the film doesn't? That's a see-through object.
Famously.
Yeah, that's about texture. Could be texture blind.
There could be something in that, you know. There could be something in that.
It's an interesting point. I've got this problem at mine at the moment because one of my neighbours keeps recycling used pizza boxes.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what? I only found that out recently that you can't recycle them. I didn't know that. I only found that out in the last month or so.
Hang on. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure. I know you can't recycle them if they're really dirty, but can you not recycle them full stop?
No, because any amount of food contamination. And also what I didn't realise is if you put it in with your other paper it can contaminate the entire batch.
Oh,
so it
Jesus.
Might mean that if you and it's like, well, it's why you've got to wash everything up. You've got to wash up your jars and everything, yeah. because any bit of food contamination that goes on anything else, that's it. They just chuck the whole lot away.
Oh so, my God.
I know. It's
gets
bad.
Worse have you
been,
and worse.
Have you been misrecycling as well? It sounds like you're a victim of your own beef here.
I definitely did recycle a pizza box about a month ago. I did. Yeah. Oh no!
I heard Siddy recycled an entire pizza. Put the whole thing in there. Yeah. Absolute disgrace.
Just says to the delivery guy, just drop it in the green box over there.
Yeah. So actually, hang on. So I've got something to learn as well. So maybe actually, Al's just as bad as me, and maybe Rose as well. We just
you're on the same journey together. Oh, you're just in different God. Parts of the same journey.
Sure.
That's
yeah.
beautiful, actually.
Maybe that's the lesson that you've got, you know, you've got to learn here is that Al is, you know, he might be a little bit behind you or a bit ahead
one.
Of you, but you're
all,
every day
three.
Is a school day.
I'll tell you what it is. And just to defend Al, because I am very much
do.
A if in doubt, pop it in the recycling and see what happens.
Yeah, they'll fix it at the plant, won't they?
Yeah, that's sort of how I think, to the point where I've anything like... Old bits of like when I was tidying up the house recently, I found a load of old keys that I knew were for stuff I didn't use anymore. Chucked them all in the recycling. I thought that'll be fine, won't it?
A bunch of old keys.
Load of old keys, yeah. And in fact, I think I chucked the entire.
Crosby, have you still got my spare keys? I do need that.
Crosby, have you still got my piano?
But no, I tell you what, I got a new lock put on one of the doors, and I chucked the entire lock. Fuck me,
Crosby! I'll have a new lock, please.
Well, 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 well.
Oh, on my safe to keep all my money.
But I chucked away the lock and the keys into the recycling because I thought, well, it's metal. It's the same as tin cans, isn't it? I'm sure they'll find a use for it. But
yeah.
that's not the case.
I think you were in a weird place at the time when you did that, don't you think?
Yeah.
It does sound that way. Yes, it really does.
That's a weird day when you do that. And no offence to you, but...
No. But what would you have done if you'd had a lock and a load of keys in your house? It feels so big and unwieldy and...
Yeah.
Permanent. You, know, you put that in landfill, it's never going to degrade, right?
A local
metal.
Skip, maybe? Like, yeah, have an eye on where the skips are. Get it in there.
Go to the refuse centre.
It's got to be, yeah. But it's just one thing. Driving to the refuse centre for one item.
I mean, yeah, is that worse than not recycling at all? Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's not a long drive.
Environment.
Al yeah. once
you'd,
got an
you'd
Uber
put it in the garage.
To the local tip with, like, one thing. And I've always found it the funniest thing in the world. Because then he got the Uber. I've forgotten what it was. It was like a little bit heavy to carry. And the Uber dropped him off really unimpressed. And then Al walked back. And it's such a sort of simple story, but I've always found it so, I don't know, not pathetic, but like almost. I love it.
Almost
I think it's beautiful.
Pathetic, yeah.
Almost
yeah, yeah,
pathetic.
It's
getting
very adorable.
Your Uber to the tip.
Almost pathetic, very adorable.
Walking home to save money. Oh God, so sweet. That's
it's,
my
it's
dude.
Really sweet. Well, there you go. I think what we've learned here is empathy is the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the key that you throw in the recycling.
But also,
we you and Al, you know, yeah.
Oh no, sorry. What were you saying?
Well, I think you and Al are on this beautiful journey together and, yeah. you know, sometimes you'll be ahead of him, sometimes he'll be ahead of you and mm-hmm. that's the important thing to learn
yeah.
when you know, move on together.
I think re-education as well, like what I've just learned about the pizza boxes, that is a very powerful lesson to me. I think maybe I print some. Oh, I shouldn't print something out. I should get a leaflet from the council and stick it to the fridge door and then we can look at that and go, right... Let's work out together what we can recycle.
Yeah, it sounds like your new house is going to be so much fun. You might need to get a new one post, you know, the lockdown flat. The recycling flat.
The crazy days
on the left,
ahead of us.
On the left, there's a recycling chart. On the right, I've graphed our parents' mortality. It's kind of like a rough kind of life expectancy kind of chart.
And in the middle, loads of MDMA and kit. Yeah.
I, I feel like we're going to run into Emma in a few weeks' time and say, how did the move go? And, she's going to go, you're not going to believe it. Al's moved to Seville.
Honestly, don't. Oh, God.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been really fun having you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's been a wonderful way to while away my final flat share days.
Oh, so. Yeah. I mean, technically, you'll still be flat sharing with Al, won't you? I mean, it's still...
I will. Yeah,
it's still.
We hope so, because we want to have Al on as a guest soon as well, so we can get the flip side of the story.
I'm really interested to get Al on soon, actually, just to see what he thinks about this whole recycling thing.
But I think let's leave it 6 months so we can get a good read on how the new setup is going.
I am
going
to make sure that Al never does this podcast. Just to... So, you know, you keep waiting, boys, but little lady has banned him.
You're gonna do the old landlady thing of saying, oh, I went on Pappy's podcast and they all started flirting with me. It was really uncomfortable, actually. Really uncomfortable.
Just some awkward standoffs in Soho Theatre.
I think they'd be...
fight outside.
Wouldn't be the first time. where can people find what you're up to? Is there anything you'd like to promote, tell people about?
You know what? Not especially, but there's some really exciting things coming out. Second series of Starstruck is coming out
Brilliant. Love the first series so much.
Yeah, no, it's such a treat to be involved in. And that is, it's kind of more of the same in a good way in the new year. So, nice. So yeah, that'd be great. And otherwise, I don't know, I'm on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, having fun on the net.
Well, if you like fun, you know where to go. Thanks so much, Emma. Speak to you soon.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, there you go. Well, it truly was a great episode.
It truly was, Tom. And if you enjoyed that episode with Emma City, get over to our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, for a bonus beef with Emma that is not in the main feed. It's completely new beef, all about turkey. So just in time for Christmas. Obviously, of course, the Patreon, well worth bigging up. It's a wonderful place to go.
It's a wonderful place full of wonderful people.
It is. It really is. It's a wonderful community. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, if you would like more bonus episodes of the podcast, one every single week, plus the bonus beefs with our guests, then get over to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Join today. For just £4 a month, you get all of the bonus episodes of Flatshare Lockdown, which we recorded over lockdown. You get bonus beefs. You get the new series we've just started doing, Flatshare Pop Round, aka Neighborhood Watch, aka Street Party. And it's a lot of fun.
Amazing.
Lovely. Today's episode was produced, as ever, by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.